lot of those things factor into how we manage money, initially, at least as adults. So it's really going back to what are your thoughts around money in general? Do you feel like there's enough money for you and everyone? Do you feel like, you can make more? Do you feel like you can reach these goals? And then diving into kind of the why and getting really clear on your core values.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, Mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, Mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I am your host and intuitive life mentor coming at you today with a very special guest on a not so very sexy yet very important topic. I have the pleasure of having Allie Williams on the show with me for the second time. I just got to plug at this. My computer was not recoverable and we are here re-recording. I'm so thankful and happy that I'm able to have more time with Allie here, the founder of Financially Focused, which is a financial literacy company helping people feel confident in their finances within a judgment-free zone. She helps create a flexible financial plan that they could actually stick to that does not include deprivation. She's been featured on Business Insider, NerdWallet, Channel 7 News, and so much more. She's got her MBA in finance, lives in South Carolina with her husband and two sons, and spends a lot of time at the football games. Go Gamecocks. With a Starbucks latte in her hand. We're talking about coffee and here she goes flagging her shirt right now. We're on video, just laughing in the background here. So Allie, I would love to pass the mic over to you to be able to just share a little bit more about your story, how you became debt-free at 25 and then married into $154,000 of debt and all turned that around to pay off six figures of debt while still saving, investing and spending on things that you value. Allie, take it away.
Thanks for having me. I am so glad to be back again to talk more about money. I'm Allie Williams. I live in South Carolina with my whole family. And really my main mission is to help people just make money more conversational and realize it isn't as overwhelming and scary to manage your finances, just like you talk about maybe your day at work or your friend, gossip with your friends or your partner. That's how we should be talking about money, just keeping it really conversational. So like you said, I became debt-free as an individual, like as a single person at 25 and then married into six figures of debt, which, is really fun, really overwhelming. But together we were able to pay it off while still, saving, like you said, and spending. And I think one thing I'm really good at is managing multiple goals at the same time and figuring out a way like, okay, you can pay off debt and save and kind of just working those pieces, doing different mock budgets. And I think budgeting in general, people just like hate the term. I think when you learn about budgeting in school, it's usually from like a finance book, something like very rigid, like corporate type finance. And you're like, this sounds terrible. And really a budget is just simply telling your money where to go. And the best part is you get to decide that. So if your budget is really restrictive, you caused that and there's ways to change it. So really just want people to feel more comfortable talking about money and realize they can reach these big money goals they have. It might take some time, but it isn't as complicated as people might think.
Mm-hmm. And I know that as we talk, I would love for you to just kind of interweave your guys' story with how, because like looking at your Instagram stories and like how you guys, you always say like, I'm not deprivate. Oh my gosh, what is that word? Deprivation. Like, it's not deprivation, right?
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful to be able to still save and pay off, like what you're saying. And I feel like that is such a pivotal, what sets you apart, right? Because you're not depriving and you're still able to do things that you love. So you're able to pay it off and it's not so rigid in what you're saying. So I would love to dive deeper into how to create just a realistic, flexible budget for your family. And yeah go.
So I think the first thing, just like kind of any big goal, right, is doing a money audit, which I always say is the worst part, but it's such a needed part. And so you need to write down your current state and like write it on a piece of paper. If you like pen and paper, spreadsheet, whatever it is, like get it all out. You need to be able to see what's going on. So you will write down, you know, how much do you have in debt, but not just the total amount, but like interest rates, what type of debt. So you can create that debt payoff plan. How much do you have saved, if anything? Is it for a specific goal? What are your actual expenses? I think especially right now with inflation and other costs increasing, you might think you spend a certain amount because maybe that's what you spent like 6 months ago, but prices have gone up. So you really need to know what you are spending, not what like a social media influencer tells you need to spend or your friends. Like, what are you doing as of today to make sure they're using your actual numbers, not these like, you know, imaginary numbers. So first step is 100% a money audit. Like I said, it might take you some time. You can break it up. It can take you a week, 2 weeks. It might take you a day, but really you need to figure out where are you as of today so that we can then create your budget.
Mm-hmm. And the audit being not fun at all. Like, this show is a very interconnected, like self-work show. And that is a part, like auditing is a part of the formula that I use too, walking my clients through. And it's all about like ourselves and our mindset and stuff like that. So audit, like acknowledgement, however you want to say it, like you have to know the reality of what is going on. So 100%. And I feel like a lot of times that's when like we shove things under the rug, or when we don't want to be honest with ourselves, or we don't want to see the reality of what's going on, you know? And I feel like that being like such a foundational step, it's crucial in anything, right?
Yeah. Anything you do, like if you're, you know, self, you know, working on yourself, you're decluttering a room, like anything, you have to do that like initial kind of like reflection and audit to really know what you want to do. Cause like if your goal is, if you say you spend $300 of groceries and that's what you budget, you know, a week or a month, and you're really spending $500, it's like, you're going to always be like, my budget's off. I can't do this. Like, budgeting doesn't work. And it's like, no, you're not using, you know, your actual numbers. And if there are things you want to reduce, or like say groceries, you're spending right now $300 a week and you're like, oh my God, that's wild. We shouldn't be spending that much. What a lot of people try to do is then cut it. They're like, okay, we're going to go from 300 to 100. And you can't do that in a week. You know, most people can't just drastically change their life in 4 days, especially if you have family. So maybe instead of going from 300 to 100, you go from 300 to 250, see how that goes. And then you kind of stagger it. A lot of people try to do this like all or nothing approach when it comes to their money. They panic and they slash everything, or they panic and they impulse buy everything. And so we're trying to kind of eliminate those like harsh reactions to things and find that kind of more sustainable, realistic middle ground that you know how to make adjustments as things happen, but you're not like emotionally reacting to like everything when it comes to your finances.
I love that. Can we talk more like about that mindset and like the foundational work that you do like with your clients? Because there has to be some sort of mindset work, right? So how do you kind of work with them through that money mindset?
Yeah. So whether you're single or you have a partner, money mindset is so important. And especially if you have a partner, because you have to understand how you think, or, you know, we're raised around money might be completely different than your partner. And that can kind of cause a lot of the financial stress in marriages or just relationships, because maybe you had money growing up, maybe your partner had none, maybe you tend to hoard based on some money past things, and maybe your partner just spends because they never had money and they just feel like they can buy whatever they want. So really understanding your money past, a lot of our money habits actually, there's like studies that show a lot of your money habits are like pretty much formed by the time you're like 7 or 8, just like in your head from like what you observe with your parents or your guardians or friends. Like if you think back, maybe it's not like your parents taught you specific things, but things you observe, like when you went to a store, did your parents always tell you not to touch anything and put it back because you can't afford it? Or did you see them always swiping credit cards? Or did you see them stressed about money? Like a lot of those things factor into how we manage money initially, at least as adults. So it's really going back to, what are your thoughts around money in general? Do you feel like there's enough money for you and everyone? Do you feel like, you know, you can make more? Do you feel like you can reach these goals? And then diving into kind of the why and getting really clear on your core values. Like, this is a podcast, you can't see, but like, I'm in a sweatshirt with no makeup and my hair isn't done. Like, I don't value, like, personally, I don't value like designer clothes, and like, I'm good. I'm not jealous of people who have it. I feel fine without it. But some people, they do want that. And that's fine to want that. You just have to get clear. Like, for me, I value more like giving to organizations and things I care about. I value travel. I value more time with my family. And those are things you'll see in my budget. You won't really see, you know, beauty or clothes or things like that. So it's just getting right and writing all this down, I think, is so important, because you can think things in your head, but until you write it down, other ideas come up and, you know, you kind of get out of your own head and can kind of brainstorm. But kind of understanding your money past, kind of reframing just your beliefs around money, like your, you know, money mantras as a cliche thing to say, but, you know, how you talk about money. Do you feel like, oh, I'll never get out of this, pay off this debt, or it's not possible for me, or she can do it, but I can't, you know, if you keep telling yourself those negative thoughts, it's really hard then to implement, you know, positive changes. So first step is definitely to kind of rework even how you talk about money with people, even if you haven't reached those goals yet, and just dive into kind of like your money past.
Mm-hmm. So is that like step one, or like, can you walk us through kind of like the steps of, let it be working with a client, but like how you help them just go from, you know, point A to point B?
Yeah. So step one is kind of just always reviewing current state, like what's working, what's not. And maybe you feel like nothing's working, but usually there is one positive, and maybe you pay your bills on time. Like, that's a win, because some people don't do that. So I know you might not be where you want to be, but if you're paying your bills on time, that's an amazing money win. If you check your bank account, that's a great win. So kind of just reflecting on what are a few things that you are doing and what are a few things that maybe you want to improve on. And then definitely the mindset piece comes before you budget, because if you don't have that figured out, it's really hard to create a budget that's realistic, because you'll probably impulse spend, and you'll argue with, if you do have a partner, probably on how to like manage money. So definitely kind of first just current state, money mindset, then really that full money audit we talked about. And then after that, I always say we want to set a few money goals, thinking like 1 to 3 years out-ish, like if you want to buy a car, or if you're trying to buy a house, or you want to save for your kids, or you want to have a baby, or you just need an emergency fund, or you want to pay off your credit card debt. What are the few things you want to focus on? Because we'll use that to then form your budget. So once you do all of that, then we start focusing on the budget. A lot of people feel like, or think budgeting is the first step. And I think that's what they do wrong, is they just jump into budgeting without doing all of this, like, quote unquote, pre-work. Mm-hmm. And that's why they don't stick to it, because they haven't worked on the mindset piece and the auditing piece. And they just jump right into trying to map out a budget. So you kind of have to do all of that, then create your budget. And then from there, we figure out within your budget, do we need to cut expenses or reduce them even temporarily? How much are we going to allocate to savings or debt? Having some fun money in your budget, because, or else you'll go crazy. Then we get to work on what I think is fun. Other people might not think is fun initially, but usually they come around to it.
Mm-hmm. I know that I said this the last time too, when we were recording, but just the similarities and like the crossroads of what I do, you know, helping kind of like overcoming that survival mode, coming back home to yourself, self-love. And here you, like, you are a financial coach, like financial mentor, but it's so like, in, it's so funny, because what you're saying, like, you have to do that, I call it root work, you know, like that groundwork first before you go into, you know, like they just think it's the budget, but there's so much back work, that pre-work, that root work that you have to do first. And it's just so fascinating and beautiful, like how, you know, our two businesses are just so similar in that sense, because I feel like it all comes down to like living in like such a instant gratification society. Like, we want it now and we want to figure it out. Like, we just want it now. Like, we're going to do this. We want results now. We want to figure it out now. We want to do the work today and see it tomorrow. But it's all like, you got to reverse engineering, but you got to get back to that root, right?
Totally. I mean, even, you know, like I live on almost 25 acres, 25 acre farm. And if you met me today and you saw, they're like, oh my God, like, look at her. She has everything. And they don't realize that literally before that, we were living in a 2-bed, 1-bed bathroom house with two kids in a terrible area. And I have stories about that for days. And we did have to make sacrifices and adjust and put things, you know, with patience. Even in this house currently, there are so many home renovations and improvements we want to do, but I will only do them if we have the cash, which, you know, like a new kitchen is like $90,000, which I unfortunately can't just like, you know, save in a day or a year or even 2 years. Like, you know, so there's things that I have to be patient on, and it takes time. But one day when they see my new kitchen, there's gonna be people who are like, oh my God, wow, look at her. She did that. And they don't realize that I've been planning this for 5 years. You know, I've been planning this for 10 years. It takes so much time. Not saying everything takes 5 to 10 years, but you know, to pay off massive amounts of debt or to save a lot of money takes time, unless your income is like, you know, 500,000, which mine is nowhere near. So unfortunately, I can't do that quickly, but it takes staying consistent. And I think that's why the pre-work is so important, is because there's going to be months that are just terrible, with just like in life in general, there's going to be seasons of life that are harder. And if you don't have that realistic plan that you know how to adjust and change, you're going to throw in the towel. You're going to give up and be like, this just doesn't work for me. And then you get stuck in that cycle of impulse spending and, you know, all the other things, and you're kind of going backwards. So that's why you really have to set that groundwork so that you can handle the ups and downs of life, especially when it comes to money.
So how often do you suggest like to check in and like to check in with your budget, to check in just with your bank accounts or like just with all of that?
Yeah, every week. Every Friday is my, like, Friday morning's my, I guess, check-in morning for me. It just is easy, based on pay periods, but like I always recommend budgeting per paycheck. So like my husband gets paid weekly, so we weekly, I guess, budget per week, and then I get paid twice a month. So two of our paychecks are like quote unquote bigger for both of us, and then two are just him. And so every Friday I go in, like, pay what I need to pay, make savings transfers. It takes me less than 10 minutes to make updates. Budgeting, you know, it's kind of like, right, it takes time to get systems and habits set up and for them to work. But the goal is never that I want you to spend, you know, 3 hours a week budgeting. I mean, that sounds terrible. The goal is where it takes 10 minutes a week. You know what adjustments you need to make. You're kind of aware of what's going on. Even if you get paid monthly, I still recommend at least, you know, every week you can set a day or time you're checking in, making updates. The issue people run into is they create their budget beginning of the month, they never check it. At the end of the month, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm over budget. Like, oh well. And if you check in weekly, you're more obviously proactive versus reactive. So if you are over budget, that's okay. It happens to everyone. You have time to make adjustments to kind of still make your month like good overall. So maybe the next week you save a little less to cover your overspending, or you don't get takeout 3 nights a week, you get it one night next week to kind of make it up. So giving you time to make adjustments so that you're, you know, every month you're not stuck in this cycle where you're just like, well, this month was bad, I'm over budget. This month's bad, I'm over budget.
I forget what question I asked you last time that prompted this, but I when you said on the last time we were recording how to pay off one debt first and then move on to the next, move on to the next, move on to the next, I started doing that. Like, 'cause we have two credit cards and one for each of us or whatever. But then we had another one, like when my husband started his construction business. So it's like things, it just happened, right? So just like a little bit here, a little bit here. And when you were talking the last time, it just like dawned on me. I'm like, why am I not doing that? That seems so smart. Because before I was like, oh, I'm gonna pay, you know, thousand here, thousand here, thousand here. But I don't know. Like, I already have two paid off. We're on one. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, I think people think, and to like explain that for everyone is, I think, you know, just mentally, you just want your debt gone. So say you have three credit cards, and just to keep it like simple for math purposes, say the minimum on all of it is 100, you know, each minimum's 100. And your thought process initially is like, I'll just throw extra to all of them because that will pay all my debt. But really what you want to do is target one. And I always say the one with the higher interest just because of mathematical purposes. But so say you have an extra 1,000 a month to throw at a card, it's like, okay, you'll pay the minimum on all three, you'll focus on one card, throw that extra 1,000. When that card's paid off, you just roll that amount into the next card, then focus on that card. Then when that's all done, then you'll pay off the third card. And then when that's all gone, now you have extra money to allocate to saving, investing, spending, whatever you want. But mathematically speaking, it makes so much more sense to just focus on one debt at a time and obviously pay all your minimums, and then you just kind of keep, especially that's what I did, is like keep the money I was allocating to debt still to debt until everything's paid. Of course, at that point, you can decide like maybe only one card left instead of throwing everything to that card. You can then split, you know, between debt payoff and savings. It totally is up to each person. But yeah, focus on one debt at a time. I know it's like kind of counterintuitive initially. You're like, why would, you know, I want them all gone. I'm like, I know that. That's why I'm telling you to focus on one because mathematically it just makes sense.
Yeah. And now it's like, I can't think why I was thinking the other way before.
So many people do. I feel like most people, when I review their budget, I always ask them like, can you enter the minimum payments for, you know, the cards or loans or whatever? Because usually there's extra in each of them. And then they'll be like, I have no money to throw to debt. I'm like, you do. You're actually allocating it to like five things right now. So let's just like focus on one, go all in on one. You'll pay it off way faster. And then, you know, use that amount you put to one now to the next. And then it, then you start to, once you start to see it getting paid, you're like, okay, like I see the vision. I sometimes they just have to like blindly follow me until they see it. It makes sense.
Trust the expert because it felt amazing.
Yeah, no, it's so great. I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah, I wanted to share that with you. So yay for re-recording.
Yay. So,
okay, as we're diving into holidays, like do you have just special tips, holiday focused, or even just tips to like how to pay off debt? I know you shared a bunch already, but anything maybe holiday focused?
Yeah, holidays are tough in general because I feel like it's a lot of emotional spending because like all the stores know that. And I feel like you just get like 75 like emails that you for places you've never seen before or forgot that you're on the list. And what I say, especially if you don't have a sinking fund maybe this holiday season, like you weren't financially as prepared as maybe you wanted to be, take some time and just write down on a piece of paper everything that comes to mind that you feel like you'll spend on this holiday season. So like holiday cards, stamps, food, gifts, wrapping paper, like just write travel, whatever, write it all down and then order it in like priority level. Like if you had to choose, you know, these three things to focus on financially, like it would be these three. Like maybe you don't buy new decorations this year, like you'll survive. Maybe you wait till next year, or instead of wrap, you know, fancy wrapping paper, you, I don't know, go to Dollar Tree or use like bags from Dollar, you know, you kind of like make it work, but like your top three that you really want, that's what you'll focus on. And if you can afford the others, you kind of continue to go down your list on like, okay, we can actually add in number four. Because I promise it is not worth going into credit card debt for the holidays. I know it's tempting. I know most people do it. I mean, that is what most people end up, you know, doing for holiday season. And if you aren't prepared, do that. And then for next year, you know, create a holiday sinking fund. Maybe you allocate $50 a month to it so that by the time you get to the holiday, you know, you kind of figure out what you spend. But, you know, if you can kind of keep the end of the year as neutral as possible with maybe you can't pay off as much debt because you do have extra spending, but you're at least not adding to your debt. That's what I always say is the initial goal is to not add to credit card debt because credit card interest rates right now are like 25-27%. And most things you're going to spend on, like, I mean, I have little kids, so it's a little different, but like my now 3-year-old asked for like a balloon for his birthday. And I was like, done, Dollar Tree balloon. Like, and like, I've gone to Dollar Tree before, they don't know, and bought like little books, coloring books, crayons, and they love it. Like, they don't know it's an off-brand coloring book. Like, I mean, my kids are little, so it's obviously easier. But even if you have older kids, check Facebook Marketplace, check the consignment stores, like, see if any of your friends are getting rid of toys. Like, I keep toys that they get from their birthday that I don't want them to have yet, and I just rewrap them for Christmas, and they have no idea. You know, like I said, my kids are little, so it's easier because they don't pay attention. Obviously, if you have like 14 or 15-year-olds, they might notice. But think of ways to get creative. Involve your kids if they're older in the holidays. Like, hey, you know, we have a lot of things going on, so you can get one thing. What is the one thing you really want? And you just get them the one gift, or you know, explain to them they can get it in February. You know, like just. There's ways to save. I know we want to give our kids the world, but it's not worth a 25 or 27% interest, you know, on $1,000 or whatever.
Right. Right. Totally. And you shared last time too, was it the bank that you used? You were talking about buckets.
Yes. Ally. So you definitely should be using a high yield savings account, which just means the percentage is way higher than like a traditional bank. Like for example, Bank of America, their savings is like 0.01%, which I get like 1 cent a month. And then Ally, I don't know what it is right now, but it's like 4 or 5% interest. So in Ally specifically, not sponsored by them. I wish I was, but it's a bank I've used for like 10 years and most of my students use it just because of this buckets feature. So you can open one account and have multiple buckets in that account. So you don't need to like manage, 10 different savings accounts. And in that you would set up, your different sinking funds, which is just specific things you're saving for. So holidays, car insurance, repairs, pets, medical, travel, clothes, whatever it is, you'll just kind of organize your buckets and then you'll just put money in there. But you will make, if you don't have a high yield savings account, all of you are doing that after this podcast episode. That's it's your homework. Because it takes you 2 seconds. Most of them, including Ally, have no minimum balance requirements. There's no monthly fees. You could have $0 in there. They're not going to charge you. So there's really no downside to opening it, but you will make so much more money for doing literally nothing than a traditional bank. So definitely check out high yield savings account. Like I said, I personally use Ally because of their buckets feature. It just makes visually seeing your sinking funds so much easier. Similar to like debt payoff where you need to like choose one and really be specific. Same thing with savings is the issue I see with savings specifically is people are like, oh, I'm just saving. And I'm like, well, what is it for? Like, what are you saving? And then it's hard to know, like, when do you use it? How much can you use? So having those buckets just keep it seeps really clear on how much you have allocated to each goal. Like, okay, I know I have 500 for travel. I know I have 300, 3000 for my emergency fund. So when you do need the money, you know exactly how much you have, where you can pull from. It also kind of keeps you from just pulling out of savings. I know we've all been there where you overspend and then you transfer money out of savings. So instead of doing that, you'd have to think like, oh, if I transfer money out, I'm pulling from my Mexico fund, and then it just gets you to pause for a second and be like, I don't really want to do that. So kind of just make your savings goals really specific is also helpful.
No, I love that. So, all right, Allie, what services do you offer? How can we work with you?
Yeah, so I have a completely free foundational course. It's on my website and on my Instagram if you're like, I just need a place to start. It's a free course. It takes you 1 hour to go through the course, but it's broken up into like 2 to 3 minute videos because like no one has the attention span, including me, to sit through, especially a financial course. But I have my signature program is Flourish Financially. And that is a coaching program where you get all the good stuff, modules, lifetime access, all my templates, all the good stuff, but you get personalized feedback from me, which I think is the best part of the program is I'll hold you accountable. I'll review your budget. I will know everything about you by the end of the program. I do have a few private spots available, but not many because of my children, because they're 3 and 1. So I don't take on as many private clients, but feel free to message me on Instagram or send me an email, and I can also tell you what I think is best. Based on your situation, what I think will help you the most.
Awesome. Yes, I will link your website, your Instagram, and your free course in the show notes below. Financially Ally Focus. I love your business name. It is wonderful. Look at the spelling, y'all. It's awesome. And Ally, I thank you so much for being with me again today, but just being here with us today on the Balanced Mom Method podcast. It has been wonderful. Like I learned so much today also. Like you have given me so much. You've provided so much free value for me also. And I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, this was fun. I'm glad we got to do it. And hopefully there's some steps that people can take and, things they can do this week to just start feeling a little bit better about their finances.
I love it. I love it. Yep. Everything will be linked in the show notes. Thank you so much again for listening, for being here with us today. And until next week, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to reach your breakthrough, mamas. We are sending our love and light.
Did you find this episode relatable and compelling? Please give my review.
Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.